with the dim, distant sound of traffic in front and behind of us, you find us at a rather crusty park bench with the paint peeling off, next to a beautiful bench actually, which has a lovely sign, simply the word unforgettable. I think that's a great word to sum up someone's legacy. What's their name? Oh, just gonna see. The legend, Jerry Gegsy Cunningham, unforgettable. But the bench that we've chosen to sit at doesn't have a little sign, but it has got far less bird poo and cigarette ash.
Do you know what we recorded? What podcast we recorded on this bench?
What?
Loneliness.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, all those years ago. Yeah, it just all came flooding back to me how far we've come. You were dating, now you're married. I had grey hair, now even more grey. You're at Target, you weren't at Target, and I'm still not at Target. That's how much has happened.
We've come back to a lovely haunt that, yeah, we used to record at many years ago. And we're sitting here to ponder the question, you know you're on plan when... Without even thinking about it, grab a piece of paper and pen, maybe a post-it note, and just write your answer down to that statement. You know you're on plan when. Don't think about it too much, just write it down, because we have got lots of other people's answers to that statement to share with you and ours, and we'll see what kind of things come out of that answer. In the meantime, we'll allow you a short interlude whilst you ponder that statement, you know you're on plan when... with a little bit of ukulele.
Cue the ukuleles.
Have you written it yet? Have you written it on the piece of paper? Have you just wrote down the answer to, you know you're on plan when...
Such a big question.
Is it though? Because I think often we know the answer very quickly. Your instincts kick in. You know what you need to do. Whether we do it is something else. But yeah, this is a podcast where we follow the Slim and World plan. We know there are lots of you who listen who are doing other weight loss plans, or maybe doing your own thing, and that's completely fine. Maybe you're just curious about the world of health and fitness, and that's cool too, because as well as look at the kind of food aspect, we also like to dig a little bit deeper in the psychological aspect of weight loss and the habit change and the behavioural change aspect. So we are officially sponsored by Slimming World. But yeah, these are things that we like to share our experiences, but we also love to hear from you, you know, so you can get in contact with us on Instagram. We're at Slimming World Podcast. Our email address is slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com. And I think that's where this was a podcast inspired by Holly, who does our social media. And she came up with this kind of statement. Mm. And we got quite a lot of response. And it made us smile. And we thought, let's make this into an episode, because it was really interesting just to see so many different kind of answers to this.
And let's see what themes come up, because we both said something before, didn't we, that we thought of that we're not going to share with you, but it has come up, hasn't it?
Yeah, so we're opening the doors today to kind of hear what is on other Slimming World members' minds when they hear this statement, because I think it's a really nice kind of statement that I guess consultants can use, like in image therapy as well, you know?
Do you know what came to my mind straight away? Tin tomatoes. Do you know what I mean? I know when it's a good week that the cupboards are brimming with tin tomatoes. It's just something for me that means I've got lots of, you know, does that make sense?
Like, isn't the point where you're not meant to have many tin tomatoes
left? No, I know that I've done a really good food shop and I'm really focused when I've prepped, and I've got like, when I've got more than 4 cans of tin tomatoes, it means business.
It's interesting what you say about food prep, because I think like when you take your bins out, it's a good sign of whether you've been on plan or not.
It
like
is
your recycling bin
full
of pizza boxes?
Yes.
Or is your compost foodie one over brimming? You've had to empty it twice because you've cooked everything from scratch.
So much, Also when you run out of toilet paper.
Okay, we'll come on to that. Right, let's have a look at some of the answers. So we haven't got everyone's name, so this is going to be very, very weird. We've been very lazy and not put your real name, so goodness knows what we could end up saying.
Names. Brenda from Birkenhead has said,
Monkey says, the ability, so you know you're on plan when you have the ability to say no to office treats, Your love meal it. Plan and your execution is on point. You're not hungry. Super windy.
Super windy. Not hungry. Yes.
We've got Vilmavens Lovin. Don't know what that is about. Sorry for mispronouncing that. Craving for baked beans and feeling light from within.
Do you know what? I know exactly what you mean. I am just feeling my stomach. I'm wearing a dress that looks like a tablecloth, but I'm like, I feel free and I feel light. It's a night. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, when you just feel like, oh yeah, airy, but not windy.
Hot toddy, long-term listener, yes, we remember you, hot toddy. When I'm full all day and I haven't needed all my sins.
Oh, get in.
A common answer here from Lex and also Mark. My farts could clear the room when I'm more windy than gale force winds.
Do you know, I often get it from people who have never done food optimising before, who will send me a message that says, are you meant to get tummy ache? Do you get wind? That excess fibre when it first happens.
My common tip for that is just drink more water.
Yeah.
When you're upping your fibre, if you've been eating beige food, but the beige carpet for many months, and then suddenly you switch to eating more broccoli, get a load of water in you.
Well, you've got to think, like, the fibre is like a karcher for your inside, so it's getting it all out.
Chickpea says, taking loads of free food into work, the joy of having something exciting prepared for lunch to look forward to, also the realization that I have no need for treat days because I eat food I love every day anyway.
Get in. Yes, that's the whole point of this. Yes, I love that.
This made me laugh, actually. You know you're on plan when, Megs says, when I eat the apple which has been rolling about in the bottom of my bag for the last few days. That got 4 likes.
Oh my God, it's
obviously
so
I'm not
true.
The only one, because I take apples a good grab and go, but they
one.
Are often the thing that I kind of forget about.
Yeah, but I had one of those pink ladies in my bag yesterday. It was all bruised up, but it was an emergency apple. I know exactly what you mean.
What have we got here? So Jen says, you know when you're on plan when you don't lie to yourself. It's a lifestyle change and not a diet. Yeah, that's I think that's something that a lot of us kind of struggle with, because we just want to lose the weight, get it off and move on with our lives. But yes, this lifestyle change, not quick paced diet where it's done and dusted and you're fixed and you're cured and you move on with your life.
Or you lie to yourself and you'll be like, yeah, that was a healthy HGB. I know that white tiger bread was. Or do you know what I mean? I'm sure double cream is an A choice. You know, it's that lying to yourself, so profound, so honest.
Alison says, when your pot of quark doesn't go out of date. Val says, when the fruit bowl is empty. Yeah.
So true about the quark. Phil said to me a few months ago, will you stop buying this stuff? I was like, why? He's like, because I throw a pot away a week, Anna. Just stop buying it. You're not going to eat it. I know it makes you feel better because you buy it, but you've not been eating it. And then I realised I'm not as din as well as I thought I had.
One of the things that I really miss being vegan is a quark equivalent, really. Not with the amount of protein, with the sin-free approach. There isn't that equivalent. And I do miss that. Like, it's making things like cheesecakes and things.
Yeah, you loved cheesecake, didn't you?
Yeah. So what else we got here? Sarah says, when you pop to the shop for some bits and treat the hubby to an ice cream and you get yourself watermelon for your treat.
Get in. That's choice power.
Mary says, you order a black coffee and eat an apple whilst everyone else is having cream teas. This was me today.
Oh, I love that. I had that in a well-known fast food restaurant, a diet cola and a bag of apple and grapes as I sniffed my child's chicken nuggets.
A good Rowan says, when you're on a day out and you get excited about finding a particular fast food restaurant which makes mostly sandwiches so you can have a salad.
Yes!
Those salads are good. Yeah.
They are really good.
Louise says, you know you're on plan when I keep myself on track by planning. Here, curvy girly, every single thing is planned to with an inch of its life. And the planning is a key part, isn't it?
I was talking to my group last week about this. Do you know what? Planning and prepping can be a really laborious task, something that we battle with. But you just do it and you become successful at weight loss. And it's knowing a little bit of effort to plan and prep. Oh, pays off big time. Mm-hmm. Pays off.
Ellen says, you can literally do the most complicated maths when it comes to totting up how to max your sins and healthy extras each day.
Oh my God, yes. I know exactly what you mean. Or you know, down to the quarter of the sin what you've had. You know you're focused when you're like, I had a quarter of a sin of a well-known chocolate spread thing.
Kimmy says, I don't feel guilty when I have a night off. I just enjoy my time.
Getting rid of guilt's key.
Muller Morgs, when Ooh. You think, stuff it, I'm eating what I want in a restaurant, and when it arrives, you realise you've made the best food optimising choice without even thinking about it. Also, using peas pudding as a base for pie or quiche. Ah, peas pudding. That's rumbled around.
Do you remember when you put that on bread for me?
Yeah. I know.
Do you remember the messages we got? Actually, it was all right, you know, wasn't it? Lower sins than butter.
Lindsay says, when you can still get your trousers on at the end of the holiday.
Get in. Oh, that's such a good feeling, because I've flown home with them done up with a hairband.
Helen says, your toilet habits change for the better and you're excited for the scales. Oh, that's interesting, wow. Isn't it? Because, yeah, a lot of people kind of dread the numbers. It's like going to a Catholic confession when you're queuing up in group for the weigh-in. You start kind of thinking about all the sins that you may have done. S-I-N-S, not necessarily S-Y-N-S.
But it's very interesting as a consultant when I stand and in the room and I watch people come in and I'm like, hi guys, I'm so excited to see them, how's it? And they're like, I don't know yet. And they can't even have a conversation about anything else until they've got rid of the scales. Yeah, I've never been excited to get on the scales.
I don't think so. And even after that 8 years, I still have that little butterfly flapping about in my stomach. Even when I know I'm at Target, I still get that kind of, oh my God, what's it going to say? Yeah. And it's different when you do it in group to when you do it at home, because it's someone else is witnessing it.
Also, I still take my wedding ring and engagement ring off. I know they weigh nothing, but it's like I can't get weighed with those on physically in group. It's mad, isn't it?
I've got a bigger watch these days as well. Like, I mean,
half a pound less.
It's chunky, this watch.
It is.
Jan says here, no guilty feelings. They shouldn't really be there, but somehow are.
Oh, you know what? The thing about guilt, though, is I think the more we say we shouldn't feel guilty, the more guilty we can feel about feeling guilty. But I think you know you've cracked it when you're actually just rolling through life and not feeling bad about any of the choices you've made. So, fair point.
I suppose it's also just accepting, guilt is there.
Yeah.
Why is it there? Can I do anything about that? No.
Let it go.
I just acknowledge it and then move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's a habit to learn as well, acknowledging and letting go.
Ali says here, when the ice cream van arrives outside and I buy a big ice cream boat for my son with strawberry sauce and sprinkles and I get a fruit pastel lolly out the freezer.
Oh, get in.
Avril, I know I'm on plan when I don't feel like I've been hit by a bus and have energy.
Oh, no.
I mean, that was a real big reason why I wanted to start doing the weight loss journey, really. I was sick of feeling tired and lethargic all of the time.
I was sick of feeling bloated. You know, like always having a bit of a raw tummy.
Sassy little hobbit, I know I'm on plan when I automatically ask the waiter or waitress how a dish is prepared so I can decide on what to have at a new restaurant. I have chronic shyness to the point of selective mutism, but wanting to make the best choice to get an awesome result on weigh day means I go out of my comfort zone by about a million miles. That's interesting.
Wow.
And that's, you know, it's a confidence thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, you have to be confident to choose to step out of a path that you would naturally defaultly go down.
Yeah. Do you know what? I was just thinking what popped into my head. I know I'm plan when I order a black Americano with milk on the side. Mm. You know, rather than going for like a latte with 14 different syrups like I would really like to have.
Yeah. And, I started going to coffee shops, I think I said the other week, didn't I, where I realised I stopped and I had time to talk to the lady while she made the coffee, and I stopped and I realised, is that really how much milk you put in? What type of milk is that? Can you show me the packaging? And what about the syrup? Can you show me what's actually
You know you're on
plan
because you asked that.
Yeah, and can you show me how much would you normally put in? When you stop and you realise that stuff, it's... You know, you're choosing to kind of actually see what's going on rather than be in denial.
Yeah.
Which, how many of us get to group and we're like, but I've been really good all week. I don't know why this has happened. Actually, you have to be brutally honest with yourself and question and look at all these little things that we do.
Things.
Yeah.
I always say to my members, good doesn't mean you're food optimized. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Because your good is something different to my good. I had a lady in group say to me, I know I'm focused and on plan because I've got my barcode scanner out. Oh, I love zapping. Do you?
I do, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ooh, love a zap. It's when you've been in the yogurt aisle for 47 minutes and the security guards come over to check you that you haven't got a stash of yogurts in your coat.
I know, Matt was like, can we just hurry up, please? It's cold. We've been in the fridge section for way too long.
Daisy makes me take a coat into the supermarket now because she's like, Mummy, we're here for ages.
We're zapping everything that's on the vegan aisle. I'm like, one of these has got to be below three sins. Yes.
One of them's not going to stop till I find it.
Exactly. Yeah. I would say once, if there's five flavours of something, generally they're all going to be about the same sins, is what I learned on several of the vegan yogurts.
Oh, on the vegan ones, because it can
it's not going to help zapping every single one.
But it can with a dairy yogurt.
Oh, yeah?
Because your strawberry could be 9.5, but your vanilla 5. We've got it with a well-known brand in a very much cheaper supermarket. Mm. Yeah, so maybe the vegan flavouring isn't so off, but the dairy flavouring is.
Okay.
But thanks for your tip. Thanks. Doesn't help me, but thanks.
Shell says, when your brothers offer to buy you a fast food, particular burger and chips, but you already have prepared your salad and you say no. The power and the
smugness.
Like this thing about, I was kind of saying the other week about taking like control of the reins and being like, I hear what you're offering, I appreciate that, but today I'm going to opt out and say no, thank you. You enjoy yours, have a great time.
Yeah.
Have one of those chips especially for me.
Yeah, I often just sniff my child's hands after she's had those french fries.
Not weird at all.
Yeah, just sometimes, though, the smell is enough. Have you not found that?
Oh, I mean, I remember there was like a chocolate bar that I used to love.
Oh.
It was a chocolate orange one, which probably gives a big clue.
Was it in a circle?
Yes.
Okay.
And the smell of the wrapper lasted for ages
that's
afterwards.
Though. That's like... Christmas.
Not vegan, so I'm opting out of that now. But, oh God, yeah, the wrappers, the smell of it. Also, like, you know, if you've had, like, salty chips and you don't want to have a drink or brush your teeth because you just want to keep licking your lips. And you're like, don't kiss me, don't kiss me. And I'm savouring every piece of salt on my lips.
Just lick my
Don't take
fingers.
My salt away from me. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I can tell when Matt's had peanut butter these days as well. Like, I'm like, ooh, that smells nice. It's funny, isn't it, when you opt out of these things? I suppose I imagine
harder.
It's a bit like, you know, when you're quitting smoking.
Oh, I used to smell
and then
it everywhere.
You can just scent every single cigarette
you're
around.
Like a dog, aren't you? Yeah, totally. Give me a fat.
Sniffing works and is zero sins.
No, but sniffing
other people's. Perhaps not a stranger.
If you know them, but it's been proven, hasn't it, that sometimes to get the same dopamine hit, you just need to smell it.
It's the anticipation,
yeah.
Not necessarily
like a
the
dog.
Act.
It can be
said
for
demonstrating
things, can't it?
The dog there. She, oh my God. She even
I
did the
just
hands.
My dog
you did the hands with like up, like a rabbit.
I've got dash hands, so they have like a million more scent receptors than any other dog, so they sniff, or they can tell you a chip's been anywhere 10 foot of you.
Okay.
Okay.
Right, okay, well, let's move on. Michelle, when you get through a Saturday involved going out for the day, being surrounded by food vans and alcohol, and you go home having had a coffee and finish your day on zero sins, but have eaten so much delicious food and treats, finally winning.
Magnificent is all I've got to say to that. A food van calls me, it goes, Anna, come here, I've got something for you. Do you know what I mean?
And that's a real nice feeling, because Michelle could have like gone and eaten all these things, you know, said yes to every temptation in sight, but then how would she have felt in the evening, and what would that have done for the rest of her week until weigh-in?
Exactly.
Like, that's a great choice. You're like, I see all this food and stuff, but right now I'm choosing not to have it because this means more to me. Losing weight means more to me than a quick fix.
Yeah.
That will be over in 2 mouthfuls.
I always think about it like a bad relationship. Looks good from afar, get close, it gives you indigestion.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean?
Jem says, you can look forward to the scales knowing that you've been on it 100%. That got 3 likes, actually.
Yeah.
That's true, isn't it? Because I was saying about like the confessional that sometimes we kind of go through in our heads.
Yes.
It's like, I don't know, I imagine like if you're going to heaven and the gates are kind of like, you're walking towards the gates and this is your life, the theme tune comes on and it's whizzing through like very quickly, a speedy, you know, meditation scene of like from birth all the way through of all the bad things that you've done. And you're like, oh gosh, I forgot about that night. Oh my goodness, I forgot about that day. And it's like, blah, 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 blah.
I think it happens when you sit in group though. You like, it comes up through the chairs. You're like, oh my God, there was that bit of cake and there was a toffee. You remember, don't you? I always know it's been a bank holiday when I get like loads of texts the day before group. I'm coming, but Ella, like we feel we need to offload it, don't we? And justify what's happened.
MJ Pandora says, when you've been constantly drinking all day, I think that they mean water.
Yeah.
So much that the frequency of going upstairs to the toilet then unknowingly becomes a part of your body magic for the week.
When you get bronze body magic.
Oh, a part of your body magic, yeah, because you're going up and down to the toilet.
Yes.
Yeah, and water is an interesting one, isn't it? Because it's often, I suppose, something that we kind of think about later. We're so busy thinking about sins and food. We're fixating on how can I make my sins? How can I squeeze all my life into my sins? We often forget about some of the bits that are a little bit further out, like water. But how important it is.
It's so important. I did a refresher in my groups and I was talking to them about the plan being like an ice cream. So the cone, the biggest part, is the free food. The bit of ice cream on the top is like the healthy extras, but the sins are just the sprinkles. If your sprinkles are bigger than your cone is when we need to like reevaluate it, don't we?
It's going to fall over.
Yeah, exactly. But water is so important to that free food element of being full, really being full, being hydrated, feeling at your optimum.
I would just say that ice cream cones are not free.
No, but I was talking about size.
I know, I get the image.
No, I really appreciate you clearing that up.
I recently found an ice cream cone that was half a sin.
No way.
Yeah.
It tastes like paper.
No, it's fine.
Is it?
Yeah, and I was like, I can have that because that feels exciting. I've got low sin ice cream. I've got some vegan low sin sprinkles. And then I've also got some skinny type syrup that goes on top, and I can have my own version of
Mr. Whippy.
Yeah,
I didn't even think that vegan sprinkles wouldn't be vegan. What are sprinkles made of?
Not sometimes fat. They have
like fat in it.
Yeah.
Wow, I'd never think.
No, that's the thing.
That's really interesting.
No, but
that's, you know, your plan.
I think whether you're vegan or not, the point of this journey that you go on is you start discovering, questioning, what is in this. Like,
I clearly haven't enough.
Can I honestly tell you, like, I could make that at home myself? And if you couldn't, and you don't know what half things are, you kind of like,
that's
should
worrying,
I be putting
it?
That in me? And what's interesting when you do the sins estimator on the app, if you haven't done this, if you scan on the app, on food search, in the bar code scanner, or you type it in, it's not there, you can do... it gives you the option of doing a sins estimator and you get the packaging and you type in per 100 grams, all the different things it asks. And it has a little thing that says list the free food. And quite often when I'm doing this, there is no free food.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it really makes you kind of think, gosh, what is in this?
Yeah.
Because I suppose where you kind of, when you're like just zapping away on the barcode, you're kind of not really reading the ingredients. You're not really looking at what's in it, which is part of the freedom of Slimming World. But also, I think it's very easy to just kind of drift and not really question what we're eating or what's in the food.
Isn't that, that's why food labelling got changed so much, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So that people could make a really educated choice. And just that colour coding is so interesting. But I think you make a really key point that sometimes we just go through it. Tell me what to eat and I'll have it. Don't question, actually, is this doing me any good?
Yeah. How many sins is this? How many? Okay, it's 1.5 sins. Right, put it in the basket. Put it in the basket. Move on.
But what is it?
Yeah, see, then just to finish, this person who is a coffee nut says, I know I'm on plan when I look at my kitchen planner on a Sunday and I know I've nailed every meal that I planned that week. I think that's kind of a good one to round up this episode, because I was thinking about what my answer would be. And I think this is kind of it. When I have done my food plan, I've done my food shop, I've taken away as many decisions that I need to for that week. And I just have a plan and I just kind of operate in it. I don't resist it. I don't try and rebel against my own plan. I just follow it. And also in the plan, I suppose, I've allowed for those moments where I've planned in the snacks, I've planned in my desserts, so that when I step on the scales, knowing that I've followed this plan and I've allowed some freedom and flexibility within my own plan, then what more could I do?
I think it is that I've done what I set out to do. That's when you know you're on plan. I've done it. And it's that almost that when you take the fight out of it, it becomes second nature. And I think that's when you know you're in a good place, don't you? When you don't have to battle against yourself.
Yeah, I remember someone in group when I was with you, actually, and they said, I know I'm on plan when I don't have to spend every waking minute thinking about food.
So important.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
I always think of her as the the squash lady. She works in a food shop and they sell lots of different varieties of squash.
Yes, I know exactly what you mean.
But and when she said that, that totally took my breath away, because I thought, how much energy do I think about, even now as a Target member, about, well, what am I going to eat for tea tonight? What am I going to eat for dinner today? What snacks am I going to take? Like, it's almost my first thought. Now I'm going back into the office and I'm having to, like, you know, commute and things like that. My first thought is, right, well, I need to sort my food out. Then I go and find my laptop and my headphones kind of things. But to kind of have the freedom of, I don't need to think about that because I've got everything I need and it's already dealt with, is just liberating.
Yeah, it really, really is. When
that's
it's
a
just,
lifestyle.
And that's when you know you've cracked it, when the thought doesn't, you don't have to, you know, beat yourself up about it and it's not a chore.
Yeah, you've also talked about how when you go to those kind of regular places, whether it be your coffee shop or your fast food restaurant, and having to like kind of train yourself before you go to like say the words that actually you want to come out your mouth, as opposed to the words that have always come out. Like, I think about a fast food restaurant where I would go and say, quarter pounder with cheese please, medium vanilla milkshake, can I get it large, and it would just be like, just come out of me. Whereas obviously I can't do that now, I'm vegan, because it'd be very weird.
Yeah, you can just about have the fries,
but I don't have my script
for
that, so I have to really think about what is my script before I go to that place.
But that's practice, and that's practice, and the more you do it, the easier it becomes. Like, I'd never now ever order a full fat drink, fizzy drink of any description.
Yeah.
And just wouldn't think to do that. I'd never order a latte.
Wow.
Yeah.
Got a group of school children about to pass us now. They're coming in high-vis jackets. They're running. They're looking joyful and free. It's a beautiful moment, people, as we remember what it was like to be children and so free from all these thoughts in our minds of thinking about what we're having for tea tonight and how many sins is that chocolate ice cream that we really want. And they just all have smiles on their faces and someone else provides food for them.
It's a very good thing you say, because actually when you think about children and what they're eating, they don't overthink it. They just eat what they enjoy, don't they? They don't overprocess it. As adults, we've lost that ability just to go with the flow, haven't we?
Yeah, food, I suppose we've attached like emotional...
kids don't.
Yeah, thoughts to food, and then it becomes this complex thing, doesn't it, really? But I think what I do find really interesting about looking at some of these statements is... when you find that thing that really works for you, because this is a truly personal answer. So perhaps look at that answer that you put at the start of this episode on that post-it note or in your journal, and just go back and kind of think about some of the things that you've heard us say from other people. What else could you add to that list now? Is it something that you need to tweak? What would you like that answer to be? It could be like a new habit or behavior that you maybe need to work on over the next month. To kind of start making this stuff stick as your script, your future script, the script you want, rather than the script that you're used to of your past.
And it might be not an action, but a feeling, like not feeling guilty, feeling satisfied, not feeling deprived, rather than like me, tin tomatoes and a black Americano. It means so many things, and different days it will mean different things too. I love that. I feel like I'm going to go home and prep.
Yeah, planning. I mean, I just feel like so many things come back to planning. But also, I suppose, another key theme that's come out of this is the power to say no.
Yeah.
And wind, yeah.
Or the
but the power
to say no.
And the fact that I really, really love this aspect where it's not diet, because you're choosing to do this. You're choosing to, like, learn a different way. You're kind of accepting that, do you know what, the way I used to live, the way I used to be, it wasn't really working for me, so I'm going to find another way. And that means that you're going to hit bumps, you're going to have to retrain, you're going to have to reprogram. But the power when you kind of come through these waves, these cravings, these temptations, is so freeing and so liberating that it really is worth sticking with, because you live for those moments, and the more these moments happen, the more it becomes ingrained, and that's when the lifestyle really kicks in, and that's when as the weight comes off, you'll see that it stays off.
And the reason that people sometimes can't keep it off is because it's not ingrained enough, because they haven't made these achievable habits, you know, that they can stick with. They're too restrictive.
Yeah, restrictive is an interesting one, because I think some people might have kind of put I don't know, like 5 different answers to that opening statement. But is that too much? Is that actually a sign that maybe you're kind of putting a bit too much pressure on yourself?
Yeah, I see pressure is the worst thing for weight loss. Some people work really well to a target, but I think it's that, that I've got to do this now and I want it to happen and I want to be fixed. When you lose that, you lose the sense of urgency that maybe you're berating yourself about.
I find that interesting because when I did my weight loss this time, there wasn't like a date or thing I was working to. You know, we often hear people are losing for a wedding or a big birthday coming
up,
you know, or a holiday. But actually to do it for yourself and not have an imposed deadline is much harder. Mm. But ultimately it's hugely rewarding because you're more likely to make it a lifestyle and for it to stick. Sometimes we can chase these deadlines or these dates and then what?
Yeah, and I think if the pandemic taught us anything, it's when it stripped us bare, and the people that were really successful, the ones who went, I'm doing this for me, and the people that I found struggled, and this is just an observation, are the ones who had always gone for a holiday, a birthday, all of those. So it's saying I'm good enough to do it for. And that's a really deep thinking thing that you've got to go, actually, I'm the reason, not the bikini, not what someone else views of me in that dress at that wedding. And I think the moment you can make that switch, it does become easier long term.
Can I just ask you a question? Something that you talk about is the phrases that we hear in group. And I think this statement kind of leans towards it. So people talk about being off plan. People talk about being good or bad. Mm. Can you just kind of like clarify like your thoughts on this, because I think you've said this a few times, but I think this is a great time for us to recap it.
So this is just me personally, I don't know what come out of anybody else's mouth, but I don't like the notion of on plan, off plan, good and bad, because actually food is food, isn't it? And some food has more energy than others, some food has got more nutrients in it than others. But for me, I'm never off plan. That's not saying there isn't ice cream and cake, but the notion of having to go from being off and being bad to getting on and being good brings out rebellion in me. So I always think about being in control and the pendulum swinging. So sometimes the pendulum is up in the free food and it's green vegetables and beautifully, you know, made meals. And other times it's slightly more decadent with the ice cream and the cake and whatever. But I never feel forced that I have to get back on it. It's just a different gradient. So I always talk to my members about making the choice and the knowledge of just being within a different part of the plan. Because good and bad, what does that tell you? Broccoli's good, chocolate's bad. Wine is bad, but, you know, I don't know, brown flakes are good. It's that good and bad. It's that telling off. I've done something right or wrong. Actually, if we're to get a better relationship with food, it's looking at food and saying, look, there are some foods that I now have an emotional response to that maybe isn't the best for me, but there are certain foods that I can eat that don't hold any emotional response. And that is better for me to kind of live in that space. It's all about trying to make yourself live a more balanced place with food. And what I always found was the guilt of being bad made being good harder, because I tried to be too perfect. And the only reason I've sustained this for nearly 22 years now is because I give myself the freedom to say there's going to be days that are going to be leaning towards the more green end of the scale. And just not having that notion of good and bad was very freeing.
I mean, I think that's just amazing, because that's where I think you really start to, like you say, change your relationship with food. Because, and once you said that in group a couple of years ago, every single group someone will say, oh, I've been really bad this week.
I hate that.
And it's difficult to know how to respond, I suppose. I think a lot of people kind of have a bit of an off and an on. We know that lots of people kind of, you know, maybe rejoin Slimming World, or this is a new journey, or, you know, they're coming back, but they've actually put on more weight than when they first joined Slimming World. There can be a lot of guilt and up and downing, I suppose.
Yeah.
And so I think that's where, from what you're saying, is it's just a really interesting different way of thinking about it.
Yeah, so for me, you know, I joined over 20 times, and the only way I could become successful was become to peace with the fact that I had maybe approached it in the wrong way, and that if I was going to be successful long term, I had to think about this in a different way, because I have the ability to berate myself over so many things, and food was becoming one that was a real issue. But we program ourselves to say, if I'm not doing this 100%, I'm bad. If I'm doing it 100%, I'm good. And good means success and bad means fail. There's no black and white. Well, there is. I don't know about you, my life is very grey. There's a lot of grey going on there. And there's a lot of things that actually we don't realise we're saying that to ourselves constantly. So that's how you get in a bad cycle with food, don't you? Because that's bad. And I look at it from feeding a child's point of view. You know, I've really tried really hard not to say to Daisy anything's off limits, but to make the choice, actually, do you know what, broccoli's really good for us, Daisy. It's going to make us have lots of energy and it's going to make us really strong, and chocolate tastes really yummy, but it's not got as many vitamins as the broccoli, because I want to educate her so that she has a good understanding of it, rather than, oh, that tastes nice but that's bad and I shouldn't have it. You know, because this is deep ingrained, isn't it? My relationship with food started very, very young, and for most people listening, it will. So that's just my take on it. I and my members know, they're like, we're not off plan, Anna, I promise. Because actually, what does that do for you? It doesn't make it any better. It just means Monday morning is you've got to get on it.
I think many of us have used food as a bit of a crutch, I suppose, to kind of get out, you know, deal with our emotions, or maybe just as a form of self-abuse, if we're really honest. And it's interesting, because to overeat is almost culturally acceptable.
100%.
But, you know, you don't drink and drive. You don't take drugs. You know, you can talk about people who are, I don't know, addicted to crack cocaine or heroin or something, but ultimately, like, the psychological thing that we're dealing with, like this dopamine, this addiction to these quick fixes, at the core chemical level of what's happening in our brain is actually quite comparable when you read some of the scientific studies.
It's
and that's
mad.
Quite scary, I think. So it's just unfortunately that it's culturally acceptable, that it's fine, you can go to a popular fast food restaurant, drive through, overeat and then drive home. But it doesn't mean that it's good for you.
No, and it's knowing that actually to start breaking that has just got to be a small step. And the first step, I would say, is how you talk to yourself about it.
So, yeah, you know you're on plan when you start talking a bit nicer to yourself. Could be your answer right now.
100%.
It could be as simple as that.
Yeah, change the tape.
Yeah, right. Well, we hope this has been of use to you and give you some things to think about. And thank you so much for the people who interact with us on our Instagram account, at Slimming World Podcast. You know, when we saw this post and we saw the responses, we thought, we've got to make this an episode. We changed our schedule to accommodate this, because we thought, this is a really interesting kind of journal exercise. And just a recapping, because, you know, how often do you do like your food plan, your food shop? But we're really big, passionate fans on this podcast of thinking about disrupting your automatic habits, your thought processes. And that's what's going to crack it when it comes to making this new lifestyle, this new way of eating, this new way of moving, something that's going to stick.
Soon it won't be new and you'll be like me, 22 years in it. Do you know what I mean? But I look back now and think the habits that I had to change at the beginning now are just so automatic, but it just took the consistency to do it.
Yeah. Right. Have a fabulous week, as they say in Slimming World. They always say fabulous.
You know, it's so interesting.
Fabulous, darling, fabulous.
No, but we all have a favourite.
Gorgeous. Oh, well, gorgeous Anna. I, as a member, cringe inside, because all of you consultants, is there like some kind of language dictionary you all inhale?
No, but there
isn't. Our gorgeous Anna today has lost a fabulous 5 stone.
You've got to remember, right, if you're and the consultants listening will totally get me, imagine you're like me, you've got 6 groups, you're trying to use all these positive words for people, there's only so many fabulous and gorgeousness, and then you find you're like, I tried not to say the word gorgeous and I'm trying really hard and now I've said it 86 times. And you'll have it, a consultant will know they've got their own word and they'll know they'll try and avoid it. So
I know, I just think multiple consultants always use fabulous and gorgeous. I think it must be in your little consultant handbook. It must be, because you all say the same thing.
Well, I'm going to change it now. I'm going to be like, awesome, or I'm going to go and look at the dictionary and find it. But it is, you will find consultants have got set words that are theirs.
Fantabidozy, spiffing.
Okay, my group.
Stupendous.
Chorten Slimming World this week. Stupendous, you are going to be.
You have all had a stupendous weight loss. Anyway, please send us your thesaurus suggestions for gorgeous and fabulous to @slimmingworldpodcast.
I'm going.
email slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com. Instead of saying enjoy your food, I'll say ravish your free food all you wish. Goodbye.